Wow. I would say we're having church here today, huh? Welcome to International Sunday. This is a special time. Of course, you know, we're Christians, so we love table fellowship, amen? And we love the fellowship. It is so addicting. We love being together, but we particularly love this Sunday because we get to express ourselves and, you know, tear down the screen. I'm glad that didn't fall on you, Lawrence. I helped put that thing up. That thing weighs 1,000 pounds. I did want to lift up my man, Lawrence. You know, Lawrence was born in Japan, and his mom is Korean, so he speaks Japanese and Korean and English. But he chose to do Japanese. Hope your mom's not watching. She would be very disappointed. It's great. Welcome to International Sunday. It's great to be together. My wife said we're going to have some food afterwards. A great time to taste some different food from different cultures. But didn't you just feel proud of our church with such a diverse group? Amen. Very excited, I wish we knew more songs in different languages, but I think the Spanish alone, which they're right next door to us, and we can't even do that very well, so if we try to do Italian or Russian, it might be messy, but maybe we'll learn more songs and more languages down the road, amen? If you're with us for the first time, my name is Vince, and my wife and I, we get the opportunity to serve here, leading in the church, and we just love our family. I love how diverse we are. It is such a cool group. We got some dysfunction, but, you know, they let me in. And so, you know, it's going to be a little wiggy or weird sometime. But, boy, do I love our church. Amen. Amen. Very, very, very proud. I was also very impressed. I don't know about you, but weren't you impressed at how Jeff Hughes back there actually was able to interpret everything and keep it moving? Kept the screen moving. I'm going, wow, Jeff knows all of these languages. Oh, he's just back there guessing, like, I don't know, it looks like the next one. I'm going to talk here for a few minutes here. We are doing, just if you're visiting with us, International Sunday, and our theme this year is known and loved, and we want to be a church that is recognizes how we're known and loved by God Almighty, amen. But we also want to be a place where everyone here feels like this is a place where I am known and I'm loved, amen. But also to everyone that comes, and if you're a guest here with us and this is your first time, I hope that your first time here, you feel like people want to get to know you and they want to love you. And if they don't, just come up and tell me who you're sitting next to, just what they're wearing. No. But we want to be a community that is known and loved. Amen? Amen. You can go to the next slide, Jeff, here a little bit. And so my title this morning is Born Again, Our Truest Identity. Today is actually a sermon about identity. And we're going to be in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. So let's go to God and pray. Father, you are amazing. We love you so much. We thank you, that God, that you know us so well. You know, God, everything about us. You knitted us together in our mother's womb, as the psalmist says. God, that means you know everything about us. God, you know our ups and downs. You know our good days, our bad days, our in-between days. You know what our weaknesses are. You know what our self-proclaimed strengths are. And you know what our actual strengths are, God. You know all there is to know about us, God. You know those moments when we're most nervous or insecure or fearful. You know, God, the internal tension, conflict that we deal with, God, on a regular basis, Father. You know all there is about us, and God, you love us so much. God, I know that as we come here this morning, and Father, maybe some of us, we know full well we're known and loved by you, and God, maybe others of us, we're just not sure. We're apprehensive. We're hesitant this morning. I pray, God, that this is just maybe a baby step, God, maybe a giant step, maybe for some. Maybe it's a leap, God, for others, but we leave here today, God, really recognizing how known and loved we are by you. And I pray, God, that we understand that it's not just about you, God. We need to know and love one another. We need to be for one another a place, God, that is a place where dignity is really recognized, restored. A place, God, where we treat one another with the kind of love that you treat us with. And God, of course, we struggle to do that, God. We struggle sometimes even with loving ourselves, God, in the right way. But God, help us to know that you're there for us. And God, help us to know that the other's there for us as well. Thank you for our Kingdom Kids, God, going on this morning. I pray for the kids up there and the teachers and that worth the experience that they're having. And thank you, God, for the meal that we're going to be able to participate in a little bit later. And may the fellowship just be so dynamic. But God, comfort those that need comforting this morning and make uncomfortable, God, any of us that need to be uncomfortable. We love you, Jesus, and it's your name we pray. Amen. Amen. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You're Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you on earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak on heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. "Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." The church said, Amen. You know, this is really a fascinating story. One of the stories that I read, and, you know, you've heard this passage, many embedded in this is John 3:16. So many of us heard it a lot of times. Often out of context, mind you. We just kind of skip the John 3:16. We don't read that part in the beginning. But nonetheless, the Bible is read, okay? But this is an interesting interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man with the right background. Nicodemus was born into the right nation. He had the right lineage. He had the right theocracy, you might say. He had the right tradition, the right education, the right culture, the right ethnicity. He even had the right moral compass, I believe. If anyone could be spiritually confident, it would be Nicodemus. He was born in the right place. And he went, St. Louisans, to the right high school. He just did. He went to the right high school. We know how important that is. Which high school? Someone had to ask. The right one, right? Yours. This one is yours. That's right. You know, John 3 tells us, now there was a man of the Pharisees whose name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This means something. Think about this. This guy was not some spiritually casual person. You know, to become a Pharisee, you had to start studying the Torah at about 5. And you really were sort of selected well by about age 12, whether or not you were going to become someone that was a Pharisee. It was not like our American school system. You know, people didn't just say, you can do anything you want. You know, that's just kind of wasn't the way it worked. You were chosen because you showed you had an aptitude for certain things. And by around adulthood, maybe somewhere between 30 and 40, you were recognized as a Pharisee. But Jesus calls him, he says, you are Israel's teacher. That's important. Because Jesus didn't say, you know, you're just one of the teachers. He says, you are Israel's teacher. Which means that he was probably, maybe, perhaps, some theologians believe, like pretty high up. Maybe part of the Sanhedrin, perhaps the kind of the group that oversaw all of the laws and everything. So not only did he know the Torah, but he also knew the law well. The laws of the country, the laws, the mitzvah as well. He was someone who was extraordinarily brilliant. He had national respect and national authority. This is a pretty important figure that comes to Jesus and wants to have this conversation. And not only that, but he even knows how to approach Jesus. He doesn't approach him tone-wise in the same way as some others. He approaches him, now, I know, we know you are a teacher of the law. He's giving Jesus his props, you know. Some of the Pharisees, they come up, they try to confront him and go one-on-one with Jesus. That never really worked out well. And so he knew, I can't go in. That guy knows a lot. So let me just give him his props up front, right? I know you're smarter than me. You know what I mean? We know you're something special, something incredible. And this kind of painting here is maybe a little bit closer to what Nicodemus actually looked like. He was not some young guy coming to this 30-year-old teacher. He was experienced and schooled and educated and learned and well respected. And he comes to Jesus at night. The Bible doesn't waste any details. It was night because it was night, amen? Physical darkness, spiritual darkness. Nick at night. That's preacher humor right there. You can't get that in comedy shows. You just. He doesn't yet know the spiritual darkness that he actually is in. But he does know he has some spiritual hesitation, okay? Anybody ever feel spiritually hesitant? Maybe you don't really know darkness. I'm not really sure. I don't want to go that far because we're Americans. Well, I'm good enough. I mean, I like what people say. I'm pretty good. I haven't killed anybody. I'm going, what? Is that the... That's a... That's a crazy threshold to have for yourself. Like, I haven't killed anybody. Like, well, that's good, you know? I mean, God bless you. You haven't killed anybody yet. Anyway, but he's hesitant for sure, Nicodemus. If you're hesitant, that's okay. God will meet you in the darkness. He'll meet you in hesitation. He'll meet you wherever you are. Jesus will meet you there. He always welcomes you, okay? He lets you come. Even the Pharisees that didn't come with the right tone, Jesus let them come, okay? But Jesus says something to Nicodemus that is very unsettling. And I'm not sure if Nicodemus came for comfort or to be made uncomfortable, but I tell you what, he definitely left feeling probably both, and maybe more uncomfortable. Jesus says, unless you are born again, born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't say, unless you are refined, unless you kind of slightly adjust how you're doing things, okay? Unless you're willing to kind of compromise a few things and do a few things different. I think sometimes when we come to Jesus, we think that's what he's saying. Just you know, don't keep not killing anybody. That's good. Don't do that. Well, we'll just tweak a few things about you. No, that's not what Jesus says. He's just saying, prove yourself, read a little bit more, okay? Come to church when you feel like it, you know what I'm saying? No, he says, unless you are born again. Not just slightly adjusted. This is something totally new. And Nicodemus gets it. He goes, enter my mother's womb a second time? And Jesus goes, that's a little sick, but okay, but we're not doing that. You know, this matters to us on a day like today. It matters deeply. Because we celebrate where we're from to some degree, okay? But Jesus speaks about sort of this higher birth. We've all come from somewhere, born into some family, born into some nation, born into some culture, born into some language perhaps as well. And I think Rachel said it well. Jesus, God does not, he doesn't eradicate or erase your cultural heritage at all. He doesn't erase diversity at all. In fact, it's celebrated in Revelation that all nations will come. Every tribe, every language, every nation will come. But Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about allegiance in more ways than we can fully understand. Point number one, your first birth, it was a gift. But it's not your authority. Your first birth, it was a gift. It's a gift that you're born. You know, I used to go praying with a good friend of mine, Jay Kelly. And Jay, when I met Jay, I was in college at the University of Nebraska. And Jay loved to go pray in cemeteries. He did. He loved to pray in cemeteries. And so it became a favorite habit of mine as well, praying in cemeteries. We'd walk through the cemeteries. No matter where he lived, he loved to walk through cemeteries and pray. And he says, and you're blessed if you can run across your name in a cemetery. That's pretty powerful. You just kind of go, Vince Hawkins. And I have. I've come across a Vince Hawkins in a cemetery before. It's pretty powerful. It makes you stand and go, okay, someday I may not be in this grave, but I'm going to be in a grave, okay? But it's peaceful, cemeteries. And of course, people are dying to get in there, but I'm sorry. All right, okay. That's an oldie but goodie, right? Teens, you like that? You guys are so, thank you, Ryland. The rest of you are lame. Can use that at school. But I remember with Jay and I, we walked through the cemetery, and the first time I heard him pray, God, thank you that I wasn't aborted. I was going, You know, yeah, it's true. I mean, your first birth, it's a gift. I know you don't always feel like that. I know. If you've had days like me, you're going to go, why am I even alive, God? You know, take me now. Why was I born? We all feel that at times. But your first birth, it was a gift. No matter what family you were born into, what culture you were born into, I know it doesn't always feel that way, but it's a gift. But it is not your authority, amen? Again, heaven celebrates your culture, celebrates your nations. Revelation 7:9 says, a great multitude from every nation, every tribe, people, and language were coming together. So God doesn't erase where you come from. He actually redeems it in ways that the world never can. They pit the races and the cultures and the nations. They pit against one another. It's always you against me. It's always this against that. That's what the world does, but God redeems it, doesn't he? He pulls it together in unified ways. And even sometimes while they're out there fighting about how different we are, I'm different than this. And then we try to do things like, you know, all of them are this way. And all of them are that way. Because we got to give, because we want to be unified and we want to, but God redeems all of that, amen? But none of that is our authority, right? Because Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. Physical birth gives you temporary heritage, amen? But spiritual birth gives you eternal identity, amen? Physical birth gives you temporary culture. It's temporary, your culture. But physical birth gives you eternal citizenship. Amen? Spiritual birth, sorry. Spiritual birth gives you eternal citizenship. It's like Philippians 3:17 says, our citizenship is in heaven. This is what Paul says in Philippians 3:17-20. Says, join together and follow my example, brothers and sisters. And you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I've told you before, and now tell you again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Jesus. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. Amen? Amen. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. That changes your hierarchy. That changes what's most important. It changes everything. Your first birth, it's a gift, but it is not your authority. All nations, all cultures, all stories, all people matter, but they're not the, it's not the ultimate. Your ethnicity, it matters, but it's not sovereign. No ethnic group is better than another. In Jesus, amen?
Amen.
It's always the case. It's nothing, none of that sovereign, no nation is more sovereign in Jesus, amen?
Amen.
We care about the world. We care about all people. And when you're in Jesus, you have to have a different type of authority.
Amen.
I know your culture has shaped you in some ways. But it cannot rule you. You cannot let your culture rule you. You cannot let your music rule you. You cannot let your food rule you, okay? And I know we're like that. Some of us, I don't eat that. I only, That's white people food. I can't do that. I can't do it. I can't. You can't. Don't let those things rule you, amen? It just creates divisions, amen? when born again, you're defined differently, amen? See, our birth has to come from above. If you're still just focused on the fleshly and the physical and the earthly, you've got to ask yourself, man, do I need to be born again? Am I living into really being born again? Your first birth is real. You got a birthday, that's awesome, amen? But it's not your authority, and it's not your identity, amen? Point number two. The real divide is not culture, but it's control. The real divide, it's not culture, the Holy Spirit. I love how it structures this conversation. Begins at night, and it ends with Jesus saying, light has come into the world. I wonder if Nicodemus, he was a smart guy, but he probably did pick up on it. Nicodemus comes at night, and Jesus ends this dialogue by going, light has come into the world, but people love darkness. And Nicodemus had to go, wait a minute. What are you saying? You know what I mean? I know it's dark, but are you trying to say something? And Jesus, I ain't saying, I'm just saying, amen? The deepest divide in humanity, it's not geography. It's not. It's not language, it's not food, it's not music, it's not skin color. It's control. Darkness, believe it or not, represents control. It's control. It's power. It's autonomy. Darkness says, I define myself. I answer to myself. I belong to myself. It's mine. I'm in control. That's what darkness is. It's all about me controlling things and being in control, and nobody ain't gone. Nobody. I ain't go. I'll go if I want. If I don't want to go, I won't go. I'll give if I want to, and if I don't want to, I won't give. It's about control, right? But light says, well, Jesus defines me. Jesus defines me. Nothing else defines. Jesus defines me. I answer to Jesus, amen? I belong to Jesus, amen? I belong to his bride, amen? Darkness says things like, it's about me and my relationship with God. Where is that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? You and your relationship with God. That's not in the Bible, okay? It's not. That's rugged American Western individualism. Even our songs is, I and you. It's I and you, I, me. That's control. I want to control, right? But when you're in him, born again, it's about Jesus. And it's about his bride. I was telling this to a young man, you know, the other day, when the Bible says that, you know, that you don't marry Jesus when you become a Christian. You know, Jesus doesn't marry individuals. He's got a bride. It's called the church. You don't get to be married to Jesus. What's the matter with you? Okay? You think you're that important, don't you? Jesus is married to me. Why would he just be married to you? He's married. He has a bride. It's called the church. Amen? If you're in the church when he comes back, awesome. If you're not, good luck, okay? But Jesus, here's what's amazing. John 3 says something startling. It says, people loved darkness. It doesn't say people were confused by darkness. It says they loved darkness. Loved it. Because darkness protects control. But spiritual birth dethrones self-rule. But darkness, it protects control. It wants to hang on, and it doesn't want to let anyone in. And that's what darkness does. I don't want to. I don't want to be known. I don't want to be loved. And I definitely don't want to know you or love you. I pick and choose. It's the cool thing about our church is that you can't go around and handpick a group this diverse and slightly dysfunctional. Let's just play it, you know what I mean? You can't go around and pick this, you know what I mean? It's just the Spirit just brought them all in, blew you all in. You go, the wind blows. I don't know who blew that person in this church, the Spirit. The Spirit just blew them in. People are always amazed. They ask, where's your church? Oh, we meet out by the airport. Oh, and we go, why you live down here? I don't even get me started. I don't even know how half the people came into church. We got people that live in Washington, Missouri, St. Charles, Creve Coeur. We're all over the place. Fenton. We're everywhere. We're on South Side. We're in Illinois. Just wherever the wind blows, we'll go there. We'll be there, amen? And we just come together to fellowship. And some people drive a long ways because they want to be a part of that, amen? And they want to give up some of that control, amen? Man, being born again is not about self-improvement, amen? We really do, when we're born again, we transfer authority and we give it to Jesus, am I right? Colossians 1:13 says, He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son. The kingdom is what we're a part of. New birth means a new king, amen? And this is where International Sunday becomes so powerful, amen? We might wave different flags, okay? But we bow to one throne, don't we? We got one king. Let them argue over who their king is going to be. Let them argue about who the next president or whoever's going to. Let them have their king. Let them have their king. We already got a king, amen? And he won't let us down. Never says the wrong thing. Never spouts off when he shouldn't. Never falls off a bike. Nothing. Never happens, you know? It's just perfect, our King. Why would you want a cheap imitation? Amen? Point number three, and I'm going to wrap up. Spiritual birth reorders our loyalty. Amen? Jesus says, man, we're born again. We're born of the Spirit. That means it comes from above. Jesus isn't offering us some kind of private spirituality. He's telling us that our allegiance and our loyalty, it changes. In Galatians 3:28, it says there's neither Jew nor Greek, for you all are one in Jesus Christ. And as I said before, the Holy Spirit, it doesn't erase your ethnicity. But it reorders what we're really loyal to. Now my nation is secondary to my God. Okay? It's secondary. My spiritual birth, it's the most important birth. My passport and all of that stuff, it's temporary now. But my citizenship in the kingdom of God, it is eternal. It is forever. I know that this will all pass away. But what I have, it is eternal. And I think Nicodemus's entire life, it was built around just sort of being just in the right religious group, a religious loyalty. And Jesus says, man, your training, it doesn't save you. Your status, it won't save you. Your lineage, your heritage, where you were born, your education, none of that's how much money you make. It won't save you. Being loyal to those things, it won't pay off in the end. Your loyalty, it needs to change. It's got to change. And I know it is constantly trying to pull you back in. But you made a decision when you said Jesus is Lord, and that My loyalty is now to Jesus and Jesus only. Being born again, it changes you. I'm no longer loyal to Rome. I'm no longer loyal to Israel. I'm no longer loyal to the United States, Missouri, St. Louis, whatever municipality you live in, or whatever high school you attended. I'm no longer loyal to myself first and foremost. When we come to Jesus, our true humility, and we're totally humble before him, we can come with all of our hesitancy and all of our regret and all of our shame and all of our fear and all of our lack of trust and our lack of this and even our religious pride and our lack of self-esteem or our overindulgence in our esteem. And Jesus says, yet you too, you need to be born again. It's a baptism of water and the Spirit. We come from many nations, languages, backgrounds, and diverse stories. I mean, you just got to sit and hear the stories of some of the people in this room. I know they look real clean. They look real cool. But I'm telling you, when you hear their stories, your jaw will drop. You're impressed with Lawrence up here speaking two languages? Just talk to him, okay? He was a mess. My guy, though. But we belong to the kingdom. We speak different languages, but we all belong to the kingdom. We all confess Jesus, Lord. We got a lot of history, amen? We share a lot of stuff, and some of the stuff in our history we're proud, some of it we're not so proud, some of it we go, but man, we're still in the kingdom of God, amen? Nicodemus comes at night. He's respected. He's educated. He's influential. He's got everything. But he still is missing something. And maybe you are as well. Maybe you're missing. Maybe you've got some questions about. Maybe you need to take the plunge like Tracy. Amen. But here's the question. Who defines you? Who rules you? And who holds ultimate authority in your life? Can you really say it's Jesus? Or is it you? Or is it your nationality? Or is it your background? Or is it your heritage or something else? What's really the authority in your life? Again, your first birth, it gave you a nice story. But your second birth gives you a king, amen? And it gives you a kingdom, amen? So don't let the world tell you to define yourself by something other than Jesus. Be born again. Be born again. Surrender your allegiance. Again, many nations, one throne, amen? Many cultures, one king, amen? It's never about where you were born. It's never about the color of your skin. It's never about any of those things. Amen? Amen. Who rules you now? To the 60 people that are studying the Bible right now, keep studying the Bible. Amen? Amen. Ask questions. Get in the Word. Challenge the people with whom you're studying the Bible with. Amen? Ask those questions. Don't stop. And if you're not studying the Bible, get with somebody and say, what's this Bible study thing he's talking about, amen? Amen? So you can understand deeper what that means, what it means to know God's word. And if you're getting close to being baptized, praise God, amen? Amen. We're praying for you. If you got any questions about faith, about repentance, about baptism, about the church, ask them. Ask them. Ask Alex. Alex knows everything. Right here, Alex Bryant. But ask the people you're studying the Bible with, amen? Let's pray. God, you are good. You're amazing. Thank you for how incredible you are. Thank you that you give us identity, and that you show us who you are. You remind us of who you are. And God, you give us such great purpose. Thank you that you know us so well and you still love us. And thank you. I love Nicodemus' story because he was one of the ones that was preparing your body, taking it down from the cross. And so no matter where he was on this day, certainly, by the end of your time here in physical form, he had come around. He came to you at night, but very much in a public way during the daytime. He was totally in. And as we are, maybe many of us are hesitant right now, maybe we're just sort of just grappling with do we go all in or not? Maybe we are just sort of, again, hesitant. Maybe we're just in some place of darkness, something we need to talk about. Maybe we're trying to control things. I don't know what it is. Lord Jesus, help us to go all in, whether we've come here for the first time or the 1,000th time. I pray that we can just all be all in for you, and that we realize that being born again is our truest identity. Thank you, Jesus, for being our King. It's in your name we pray. Amen.